Welcome to episode 14 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I'm your host, Kofi Outlaw, and today I'm here with my co-host, Matt Mueller.
Yay, yay!
And we've pulled up, I guess we could call him a kind of a not-so-midnight as all-day cowboy type that we've pulled off the road, dusted him off. He's been gone a while, but ladies and gentlemen, he is back. Brandon Davis,
how we
joining
doing?
Us in the studio.
Thank you for little
hair's
tan.
A little longer,
a little tan.
Skin's a little tanner.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh. Muscles a little more swole. We don't know about that last part.
I don't
part.
Think that's true. They fell apart in the past week.
Woof.
But thank you for noticing.
Yeah, man, it's good to have you back, BD. We've been cycling through people to replace you. It's been like when Kenny died on South Park that one time, and they had to find a replacement. But
wait, that one time.
No, there's a one time he actually stayed dead and had to cycle in. It's like where Butters jumped in. Man,
I love Butters.
I guess I need a new man. I need a co-host with more TV knowledge.
Hey, you're young.
But we're getting off track. Today we have some good things to talk about because we have a new Avengers Endgame trailer that just dropped this morning.
Oh, snap.
Pew, 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 pew. Yeah, I mean the world wasn't ready for it, or what's left of the world after the snap wasn't ready for it, but it's here and there is a lot to talk about. So we're gonna get to that for our deep dive today. We're also going to be talking about the first reactions to DC Shazam, which BD has been out, and he's been out to Warner Brothers, and you saw Shazam already, and so we have an inside man for that, a ringer, to talk about these first Shazam reactions and what you guys should expect from next DCEU film. And we are going to be answering some questions you guys have for the Avengers Endgame trailer. You guys sent it in, so we will be kind of incorporating those in our discussion.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about Game of Thrones a little bit because there's some odds that have come out, some good if you're a betting person or just a person who's a fan of Game of Thrones. We now have odds on who will win and who might die, and we're going to...
Not me.
Yeah, we're going to run through this real quick. At least me and BD are.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get started. Let's start over in the DCEU and let's talk about Shazam. First reactions, there was a Shazam press screening event, I guess, BD, that's what it was called?
Yeah, it was like it was press and it was very early. I mean, there was no interviews or usually,
it wasn't a junket.
They finished the movie,
water
they
screening.
Wanted to see how people would react. And there was about, I'd say, 20 of us who saw it.
It's kind of like when I went out for, like, Wonder Woman.
And they did this with Aquaman as well.
Yeah, so they've kind of gotten down this practice of just testing it within kind of like the fan site circles and press circles to see what the general consensus is. And then they make their kind of release plans and marketing plans from there. And suffice to say, Warner Brothers and DC Films are sitting pretty on this one because the reactions have been overwhelmingly positive. With people, I think yourself included, BD, I'll let you take over and kind of get into this, but calling it the best DCEU movie you've seen so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even close. Listen, I don't want to get carried away, but I loved the movie, and to me, this might be the first, like, perfect movie in the DCEU.
Wow.
I thought it was great, start to finish. I haven't had this much fun watching any movie, I think, since I watched the first Guardians of the Galaxy. And even in that movie, I don't like the dance-off scene. So there's something about it that I can pick at. With Shazam, there was nothing I didn't like. I mean, it had so much heart. It was hilarious. I mean, it was so funny. It was so funny. And then it goes from being funny to the next scene. It's terrifying. Like, it's actually scary, which was so refreshing. They pushed borders. I mean, it's a PG-13 movie, but they definitely pushed some boundaries, which was nice to see. And they didn't steer clear of anything that a lot of the Marvel stuff tends to steer clear of. Marvel seems to be getting a little bit edgier, but still, they tend to keep it kind of clean. Shazam, I mean, if you're a 15-year-old boy who gets to be this good-looking, jacked adult, what are some of the first things you would do?
I don't know. Tell us from your personal experience.
Listen, I secretly am still a 15-year-old boy.
Well done.
I do all the things a 15-year-old boy would do in a good, amazing, god-looking 27-year-old's body. All right, you said it, not me. I just had to take it too far. But there's like a serious, like there's some really funny montages about those type of things. Freddie Freeman, Jack Dylan Glazer, who plays Freddie Freeman, gives the movie so much heart. He's so good. Asher Angel as Billy Batson.
Between this and it, that kid's just a star
I
now.
I know. Man. He's going to be so famous. My gosh, what am I doing? He's like 15. Every cast member is great, and there's so many surprises. Like, especially, it's a movie, obviously, about these orphans, and, you know, you typically, when you go in and you see a superhero movie about an orphan, and you are going to learn how he gets orphaned, this one flips the expectations on its head when you, and it adds just a level of heart and tragedy and different things that other superheroes don't have. And it's just makes the, I love the movie. I'm gushing over it because I loved it.
So Asher, Angel, and Zachary Levi combine for a good Billy Batson Shazam performance.
Zachary Levi is tremendous. I mean, I'll say the first 20 minutes, maybe a little bit slow. And I was kind of like, I hope the movie picks up. I enjoyed them, but I saw they had to establish things. About 20 minutes in, I'd say maybe a little bit more, Zachary Levi comes into the movie, Shazam comes into the movie, and from then on, it is just the best fun you're going to have. Possibly the best, most fun you're going to have in the movies this year.
So I have a thing of, because one of the biggest question marks has been the villain. Like, sure. That's been one of the most mysterious parts in the trailer. Because DC has had a, you know, mixed thing as far as their villains and stuff like that. Does this deliver? Like, are you happy with Savannah?
Yeah, he's scary at times. He's very scary at times. He's a great contrast to the amount of fun that Zachary Levi's Shazam is. Okay. And he's a very serious, dark role opposite the fun, light role that a 15-year-old boy in a superhero body is. Okay. So he's good. I don't want to get, I feel like anything I say is going to spoil it.
No, something. That's cool.
It's good. And I mean, even fans of Shazam's history, his, you know, the Black Adam stuff like that. Like, you're going to see at least teases. I'll say that. You'll see kind of references to a larger Shazam world, not necessarily a larger DC world, even though Freddie is a huge fan of these
heroes.
Yeah,
we've seen like,
but Shazam's world, it seems like DC is building little mini universes within their universe, because we saw it with Aquaman, we're seeing it with Wonder Woman, and Shazam is the next one to do it, it seems like.
Two questions, yeah. Does this movie leave you excited to see The Rock in a Black Adam movie?
I can't wait. I can't wait to see The Rock as Black Adam playing opposite Zachary Levi's Shazam, because, I mean, it's The Rock. He's going to play this big, tough, take-no-crap kind of villain, which is similar to Savannah, but he'll probably be more intimidating.
Yeah.
And Zachary Levi is still going to be a kid who has grown up a bit the next time we see him and has learned about his powers. This is obviously the origin story, and he's going to face a more formidable foe in Black Adam eventually, hopefully the next movie. I'm ready for it now. But I also don't want them to rush into it. I wouldn't mind seeing Black Adam's story thoroughly fleshed out in its own movie, as seems to be the plan, but who knows? We'll see what happens with that.
Okay.
But I can't wait to see that. I hope a sequel. What I love so much about this movie is how new everything feels, both to the audience and to the characters. So I actually was talking about this at the reception of the movie, of the after party. Zachary Levi asked, "What did you like about it?" And I said, "I loved how it felt so new to both the audience and the characters." And in the second movie, it's not going to feel new to the characters anymore.
No.
So you have to find something to either build on that, or a way to something to replace that with. And that's my biggest fear with the sequel, is that we'll get away from that. I hope we don't stray from it. But they did such a good job, just top to bottom. David F. Sandberg, director, knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of just killing it right now. I mean, he killed it on Horror. Just
he's Conjuring, guys.
His own stuff. His
right?
Short.
Yeah. That's
well, he did a short, Lights Out, which became we got to make into a feature, which was a pretty successful horror movie. Then he got the Annabelle sequel in an established franchise, which he killed and, you know, really made a lot of money, scared the hell out of a lot of people. And now this. So it's good to hear those elements are mixing in, that he's as funny as he is able to kind of scare us, and I'm kind of excited for that. Last question about this.
Okay.
Do you think this movie will take Captain Marvel at the box office?
No.
Okay.
It's a better movie.
asked it, and then he just looked directly at me.
Well, Matt, as everybody who listens to this and has ever known anything about Matt, is probably one of the world's biggest Captain Marvel fans. I don't think there's a chance. I just think Captain Marvel... Look, I'm going to put a prediction out. I think Captain Marvel will see a steep drop week-to-week box office, but I just don't think Captain Marvel... I don't think Shazam can compete with that opening weekend. I'm still explaining to some of my friends that it's not Kazam.
All right, fair enough. All right, so you can read our full breakdown of reactions, including BD's reactions, on the site under our DC section. We're going to keep it moving.
Full review is March 23rd.
All right, you heard that. Full review will be on March 23rd. BD will have it for you in written form, in video form. Keep a look out for that. We're going to move on to the land of Westeros to talk a little Game of Thrones. So we're going to go through this just real quick because I thought this was interesting. I did this little article about a kind of a site called BetVictor, who helps with like gambling odds and stuff, okay. Put out two lists for Game of Thrones upcoming final season. One is the odds of the people who will win and take the Iron Throne at the end. And the other is the list of people most likely to die. I wanted to run through these lists pretty quickly just to talk with you, BD, how you feel about this. Because I know you're a big Game of Thrones guy, so am I. Let's start for the people who will take the Iron Throne. And there's in the full breakdown, you can get it through the article on the site, but there's a whole list of these things.
Before you go through this, can I make my prediction on who?
Sure, yeah.
I think Arya Stark is going to get the throne.
Okay, that's your pick?
Yeah, what are her odds?
Okay, we'll go through that in 1 second. Oh, Matt, who do you think? I'm just kidding. You know nothing about this.
I
he doesn't even know that that was a Game of Thrones reference.
You're just eye candy for this.
I pick Bumblebee.
Out of here. All right, so
you know
Brandon,
nothing, Matt,
Arya Stark, I will tell you right up front, lands at number 9 of the top 10 most likely people to get thrown with a 7% implied probability, which means based on what we know so far from the show and everything else, these are implied probabilities.
So if I contact someone at HBO, can I still bet on this?
Yeah.
Like,
why not?
Can I? This is interesting.
Can I
bet on The Walking Dead?
Yeah, because I don't know either.
Yeah, he is. Nobody can believe him. All right, so top 10 for who will get the Iron Throne. Number one is a Stark, but it is Bran Stark. With 50% implied probability, meaning that based on this, from everything we've seen in the series, there's a 50% implied probability that Bran's going to end up being the new king, which would be interesting. I think that he'd be kind of the reincarnation of Bran the Builder. It would be kind of a new peaceful era. That's kind of a happy ending for Westeros, right, if Bran gets the throne. The next two and three are the top two you would probably pick, and most people have picked, which is in order, Jon Snow and Daenerys, who both have a 20% implied probability rate. Yeah. The next two, four and five are interesting to me because this is a darker kind of thing and it's pretty high up for 4 and 5 out of 10, which are respectively the Night King with 9% and the Children of the Forest with 9%.
Here's the thing, but neither of them can end up on the throne.
But that's the thing.
There won't be a throne.
That's exactly it. Like this basically says that the series is implying that everybody gets wiped out, the whole of humanity gets wiped out, or has to flee Westeros or something like across the Narrow Sea, and Westeros goes back to the original natives.
What if it's like the village and they're secretly just... there's a civilization nearby.
I mean, yeah, it's just like...
they just all leave.
Yeah, I mean, that just implies that, like, the humans don't survive on Westeros and get run off, and the original kind of supernatural creatures or the creatures they created take it back over, which is an interesting kind of indigenous...
I mean, with Game of Thrones, you can't rule that out.
No, you can't. It could be that depressing. Everybody dies.
That's the thing, is like people ask me on Twitter, who's your favorite character? And I'm like, I don't want to tell you because George R.R. Martin will kill them.
Exactly. The next two after that, 6 and 7, are the two Lannister kids, Tyrion and Cersei. And then after that, 8 and 9 are Sansa and Arya. And finally, at number 10, our dark horse pick, as always, Gendry.
Gendry.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it could be him. Why isn't Jaime Lannister?
No, he's 6% because he's just a red herring. That's why.
Why can't Jaime Lannister be on that list? He doesn't really have a claim, I guess.
He ended up on this other list. All right, so let's do top 10 most likely to die real quick and move on.
Don't tell me Jaime's likely to die.
Just what's your pick for
most likely to die?
Yeah.
Dany.
No, but she is fairly high. She's at number 8. We'll go
most likely to die. Who's
most likely
one?
To die. This one, I'll admit, is a little annoying because it's mostly like gotcha nothing characters used just.
Oh, okay.
All right. First one with 98%, meaning seems like he's going to die for sure. Nah, Euron Greyjoy is going to get implied to be.
Oh, yeah. He's toast. He's definitely dying.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, you can just put that at 100.
Cersei and Jaime are. Cersei and Jaime are number 2 and 3, respectively. They're most likely to die.
Really? Cersei ahead of Jaime?
Cersei, I mean, because Cersei will die and Jaime would most
will
likely.
Will she?
I mean, if there's any kind of normal storytelling arc where villains die.
There isn't one on this
then,
show.
Then, yeah, because
villains
basically.
Survive.
I mean, that would work out that she gets killed somehow and Jaime, just because he's Jaime, decides to basically die with her.
I hope Jaime kills her. Why? Oh, what if it's a Shakespearean.
That'd be great.
What if he kills her and kills himself?
That'd be the final redemption of Jaime Lannister. He'd be the kinslayer, but still a hero. That's kind of his
reaction. My face from that is about to become a gif because I just like had a moment.
I know.
Oh my god.
Dawned on you. Next, the next 2, 4, and 5 are Jorah Mormont and Lord Varys. Lord Varys was a surprise to me. I thought he'd make it to the very end.
He'll die.
6 and 7 are Melisandre, the Red Witch, and Beric Dondarrion, which is kind of a flub because he's been dead like the whole time. Just been still walking around.
I could see Melisandre surviving. She, she's got some tricks up those.
I could see her sacrificing herself to save them at Winterfell because of the whole Stannis screw up. She would want some redemption.
She's also tremendously selfish, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But she knows, I mean, she does what the Lord of Light tells her, and in a battle against the dead and the
cult. Does she, or does she just make it up?
Well, I don't know. That's a discussion for another time. Next, 8 and 9. Ooh, these are hard ones. Daenerys and the Hound. Daenerys and the Hound would be...
The Hound is more likely to die than the Mountain?
Yep. I mean, the Mountain could just kill the Hound in the end. That could how Clegane Bowl could end. I mean, he remember, this is the dude who put his thumbs through... what's his name's eyes?
Pedro Pascal?
Yeah, Pedro Pascal's
Oberyn
character.
Martell?
Oberyn Martell. Yeah, that guy. May he rest in pieces.
Oberyn.
Yo, that, yo, you're not prepared for that. I love people who haven't seen the show. You are not prepared for seeing Pedro Pascal.
So, Matt, are you going to catch up on this?
Before this season comes out? No.
Last.
It'll be the end. Like, I'll watch
it. And number 10, last and very, very much least, is Theon.
Least likely to die of the top 10 is Theon.
Yep.
I disagree. I think Theon's
toast. Oh, I think Theon should be toast.
He's more dead than Cersei.
Yeah, there are some redemption deaths.
I would bet Theon dies before Cersei.
I think Jaime, Melisandre, Theon are three redemption deaths.
So who do you think will be like the three sure thing characters who will be alive going into the final episode?
I think Arya will be alive. I think Bran will be alive. I think all the Starks are going to be alive.
I don't think Sansa will be alive.
You don't think so?
I don't think Sansa will be alive going into, like, the end of the last episode.
I think after all they did to Sansa, and, like, I think she's got to come out in some kind of powerful place. If everybody's still alive, she'll be a more powerful person, kind of like.
So who do you think is the first to die, then? I think Tormund is going to be one of the first to die. I think they're going to do, like, a Negan with the Night's King. Like, because, you know, you saw how the season ended with the wall going down, and Tormund is the one character there who we all really care about most who's still there. If you kill him right away, you're going to show us that the Night King doesn't care. He didn't come to play.
I think Euron will get killed because he thinks he's doing this whole voyage thing to kind of win Cersei over, and I think he'll get killed in the process, and that whole Iron Fleet thing will get wiped off the board really quick.
I can see that too.
I think Melisandre, I think the Battle of Winterfell, she'll do something fiery to kind of save everybody. And that's how they'll get out of that. That's just a prediction. I don't know any of this.
Sure.
And that she'll be a sacrifice early on. And I think quickly you're going to start shedding just like these second-tier characters.
It's going to be like the last season of Lost.
Yeah.
Where it's just tying up loose ends and characters are dying. And then you have to, like, just to get to that end game.
But, all right, so those are the top tens for who is going to win Game of Thrones is who's going to die. You can check out the full list and betting odds on the site and let us know what you think and who you want to see die or not and who you want to see on the throne at the hashtag Comic Book Nation. All right.
That's all.
Stay tuned because when we come back, we are going to be breaking down that new Avengers Endgame trailer, including answering some of your questions about it.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, so we woke up today. I walked into the office. You know, my kids are sick and stuff, so I was busy all morning. But I walked in and everybody was like, "You don't know." And I was like, "No, I don't know." And there was a new Avengers Endgame trailer. I mean, Marvel's just kind of trolling us at this point. Like, for all the waiting and the betting and stuff, they're just like, "Eh, what are you doing today? I don't know. Kind of bored." Go ahead, drop that trailer.
This is a really good way to get us to go see Captain Marvel if you haven't, though. Put her at the end of the trailer. Really, that's pretty intelligent move.
Exactly.
They know what they're doing.
Yep. So, second week, they're trying to get those second week numbers.
The one morning I sleep in, my flight landed at 4:30 in the morning. I slept in a little bit as a result. I wake up and my phone is like, trailer, 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 trailer.
Yep. And that's the way it goes around here. So, let's talk about this new trailer. Basically, this new trailer shows us kind of each main solo franchise Avenger, remembering where they started and how far they've come to this place after Infinity War, where we find them in a kind of the desolation after the decimation. And they're all in the trailer structure to say that they're going to be fighting this battle. And it kind of introduces new hashtag saying whatever it takes, that I'm sure we're going to see again in the marketing. And basically we see them in this intense battle against this threat that is never shown. But we did some digging here, and shout out to like Adam and Charlie on the comic book staff, because they were deep in their tinfoil hats when I walked in here at 9 a.m. and they were spot on. What we kind of found out is in a shot that shows Ant-Man standing in Avengers base looking at something ominously. If you look in the background of the shot, there's this rising kind of what looks like an explosive ball of flame that later connects to a scene of him shrinking down in that same office and having to escape this explosion. We see Hawkeye in the basement trying to outrun an explosion. And what we kind of figured out is all of this is taking place at Avengers HQ. And
yeah, they really frame it as if Hawkeye and Black Widow are on that ship.
Yeah.
But I don't think they are.
No.
They're somewhere else.
There's a lot of misdirection, yeah. A
lot of misdirection.
And this is basically... I think this is all happening at the end of the first act. I'm going to say around like 40 to 45 minutes in. We're going to have the scene after what happened after the snap and the time jump from when it just happens with kind of Natasha and Steve and Carol arriving and all that to later on when they're all at the base and kind of trying to adjust and let it go and making a decision they're not going to let it go. And here's where it gets crazy. So the new trailer has all this kind of footage of them... messed up and said the right
thing. Yes!
Footage of them kind of fighting on top of all this rubble. Oh. And that rubble actually seems to be Avengers HQ, now reduced to just
rubble.
And we kind of got a hint of this from a Lego toy set that was Thanos attacking Avengers HQ. And this all connects back to the Super Bowl trailer where we see them walking outside of their HQ and kind of seeing something in the sky. And we were all wondering, is this like Tony? Is this something... But this may be an attack, because later on in that same Super Bowl spot is them all in the offices, all kind of quickly like suiting up and throwing all this stuff on. And I think that sequence happens. They go outside. They notice something's coming. They go outside. They see this attack coming. They run inside. They put on their suits. Ant-Man, and they're all waiting for like, where is this attack coming from? Ant-Man's in the office. They're all kind of waiting and tensed, like be on alert. Like, where is it going to come from? But it's Thanos and, you know, possibly the Outriders, and he still has...
Do you think Thanos is coming to Earth early in the movie?
Oh, yeah. And I think he still has Infinity Stones, and you have a Power Stone to blow stuff up. You have a Space Stone to kind of just warp yourself in, even if you can't use them all together.
Just like, finishing the job.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially just taking...
Well, this is what leads up. And this leads to kind of the Disney shareholder footage that we talked about last week when we were here. And we said, basically, Jim broke it down for us. And it is kind of a setup where they're in their base talking about where Thanos is. It's all the characters who we see in Avengers HQ. And they all get apart. And some of them break off and get aboard the Benatar. Basically, everybody gets on Rocket, War Machine, Cap, Widow, Hawkeye, Nebula. I think that's everybody I'm counting, for sure, like that we know of. That are on the Benatar, and they're having that whole funny exchange about Rocket saying, who's been to space, don't puke on my ship, and all of that. I think that takes place at Avengers HQ. They're planning to go get Thanos, and Captain Marvel's going to help them do this. Who's not on board is Iron Man, Hulk, and Ant-Man, who may be science broing some quantum realm thing. And I think as they think they're going to go get Thanos, Thanos is like, nah, baby boy, you know, I don't get got. I go get.
There's and then bringing the fight to you.
Yeah, and he comes and just, and it becomes, And all of a sudden, it's just like, all right, let's lift off and go get. No, surprise. And this is a Russo brothers thing, like a twist. As soon as they think they're going to go get him, here he comes right to them. Now,
interesting.
the question I have in all of that is, why is Thanos, would Thanos be attacking them now?
I don't know.
Like, what? There's some big piece missing, and this could be the new threat we've heard teased, but, like, why would he be attacking them now, which was the question I'm kind of left with after this trailer. But all in all, it was a good trailer. I mean, I keep, like
so
I said.
So does it, so okay, so I have a question then. Does it, because we've heard of this other threat a lot.
Yeah.
Does it have to be Thanos who attacks them? It can't be this other threat.
No, it could be this other threat for sure.
Because really, the last time we saw him, he was in the garden chilling, just did my stuff.
He was smiling on a grateful
universe.
Like,
he's happy. Yeah. Like, he's done what he set out to do. Yeah. I don't, unless they could threaten him in some way, which at this point, there's no way they could, right? Really threaten him. They can't even get to where he is.
So where were you think Nebula was for that clip of Nebula fighting and what looked like a pile of scraps was on Avengers
is what
HQ?
Used to be Avengers HQ. Yeah. I think Cap, because if you look
so
at the
So they're already
again,
beaten down. You think in the beginning of the movie, they're going to get beaten down even worse.
Yeah.
Which I agree. I like that idea. I just don't think it's going to be
by Thanos.
Yeah, I think it's going to be somebody else.
I'm
for
just
some
going,
reason.
I'm just connecting the dots those, between the Lego set. And you can't ever go by Lego sets.
You know, actually, just, oftentimes always, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like Infinity War was so wrong in that. Because
yeah,
like
the Lego
there were so
sets,
many
were
little
so many
sets.
Things. They had a Wakanda battle that didn't
none of that happened. Yet. Yeah.
So you got to be careful. It's but really, yeah. I mean, there definitely is an attack. And this is definitely, I'm almost certain, Avengers HQ we're seeing.
I like the theory.
Wiped out.
There's just nobody left to fight them other than Thanos. I don't.
But I don't know why he then.
Maybe
goes,
someone. Maybe Scott
well,
Lang
is,
accidentally
there
brings
is
somebody
actually,
out of the quantum
there
realm.
There is actually because there is something that Rocket says in the Disney shareholder footage, which was he's kind of alluding to the snap having affected the entire universe and the other parts of the universe still kind of like freaking out about this.
So people that, blaming the Avengers,
maybe. Yeah.
To not stopping it, right?
Exactly. So it could be something else.
I just don't think it could be someone new.
But no, it can't. I don't think it could be something new.
I just don't think
new.
You can introduce a new villain but, and have them show up and start a fight at Avengers HQ and then also bring on the fight of Thanos. I think somebody from the MCU who we've already met is going to show up.
Yeah,
if it's
and there
not
are possibilities,
Thanos.
Especially after Captain Marvel. There's like the Supreme Intelligence. There's the, you know, oh, Ronan.
Ronan is dead. Karath yeah. is, Karath the Pursuer is dead.
So there's no way that at that point,
what
that's
about,
Nebula, like who's somehow
what about,
become the enemy?
I don't know.
As in the books? Name?
Aisha.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her. I mean,
yeah, I mean, those
she
are
lost a bunch of people, but she's got.
I mean, I just think
she's pissed at the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I'm kind of wondering if
only one left, but she's probably still
like
back.
I'm still wondering about all the time implications and all of this stuff, and if we're gonna get in some crazy Back to the Future causality where Thanos is attacking them now to
because
stop something they're gonna change later on, and we get into this whole.
I mean, that's what I thought while you were saying that. If it is Thanos, it seems like he's coming now because he knows they're gonna come later.
Yeah,
so.
Which
is
highly
like preemptively attacking,
which arguably is possible with the Infinity Stones.
Yes, yeah. And that's honestly
if they
that's
introduce
what
time travel in this film, which we expect them to, they also have to ban time travel from the MCU in this film.
Yeah,
they have to.
Yeah, they have to
because you can't
way.
Just have time travel in every. Like I think we will see movies that explore time travel, like in a Captain Marvel sequel. Like we've all read the comics, time travel is one of her cool elements of her stories. Which this movie did a version of that. Like, instead of time traveling, she just, I guess, did she dimension travel? Her memory put her somewhere else, I guess. But time travel could be a factor, but they have to have the rules in place.
Yeah, I mean,
can't use it.
After this, I think the MacGuffins are gone. Like, the Infinity Stone MacGuffins get broken up. And
no more until Cable is introduced into the
MCU. And I think they
then bring it back.
So but keep it in its own pocket.
So
you can't have it affect.
I agree, though. Too much time travel is a killer.
Yeah, but I think it's cool, though. A lot of the things you just described feel to me like the first Avengers movie. Over again, just bigger. It seems like they're really taking what worked about the first Avengers movie, and they're going to make it happen in this. So, I mean, I think that in the first Avengers movie, you had Loki show up on Earth. He decimates the Pegasus Avengers facility, and they're all kind of lost, and Hawkeye becomes a bad guy, and Dr. Eric Selvig becomes a bad guy, and, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. is at it, like, has no, can't help them, and the Avengers are forced to come together. And I think we're going to see that. If the Avengers HQ is destroyed, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. And the remaining people there are going to have to come together and Black Widow is going out to find Hawkeye, yeah. just like Black Widow went out to find Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
And you're going to have this big fight at the end where somebody's going to have to sacrifice themselves, just like Tony did in the first Avengers. Granted, in that one, he survived. Yeah. I think we're going to see an Armageddon. I think Tony is going to be like, you know what? I'll do it. And he's going to go try to do this sacrifice. Captain America is going to Bruce Willis him.
I think they might have to do it. I mean, based on the implications of the saga, like, they'll have to finish it together. Because that's, like, you know, their whole speech. It's always
been them. I don't think we lose both.
That's their whole speech. Like, what do we do if we, you know, fight, you know, we fight together?
But here's the thing. Captain America would be at peace if he died saving everything. Tony will be leaving behind a family.
That's true.
And Tony's entire through line, especially since the Russo brothers have worked with him, has been about wanting a family.
Yeah, I mean,
Think about it, with Civil War.
To be fair, I've always thought he'll end up just being kind of the new Nick Fury in a way.
I think so too, because that keeps Robert Downey Jr. around. He sells tickets. But also, it doesn't kill a fan favorite character. I just, if you look at Civil War and you look at Infinity War, those are the two movies that the Russo brothers had their hands on Tony Stark, and both of his stories in those are about family.
I don't hate that because I think you're right in a lot of respects. I just hope that's not the case because I would rather lose Tony Stark.
No, if
Captain
I lose
America.
Either way, it's gonna hurt. I'm so excited for this movie, but I remember how I felt when the snap happened.
Yeah.
And you know, as soon as the movie ended and I had time to think about it, I was like, you know what, they're gonna bring them back. But in seeing that happen, I was just gut punched. Like, it felt so hollow. I felt so hurt. And I, like, this time I'm gonna walk out of the theater and I'm gonna know that they're dead. Yeah. Whoever dies at the end of this movie to bring them back or to stop Thanos or whatever happens, whether it's Captain America, whether it's Tony, whether it's Thor, whether it's Pepper Potts, I don't know. It's going to hurt, man.
All right. Well, we got some questions that we asked you guys, the listeners at Comic Book Nation, to send in about this Avengers Endgame trailer. So we're going to read a few and try to respond and give you guys some answers. The first one I'm going to take from John Heflin, who asked, is the movie set immediately after the snap? We don't know for sure, John, but what we've seen in trailers based on the Black Widow hair theory, there's two different shots. I mean, Scarlett Johansson has blonde hair that is longer in length and a short bob that we saw from Avengers Infinity War. Then it goes back to orange eventually. So there is, but the length part of it makes us think that there is, in Cap's, you know, beard or no beard.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to start right there, especially with the Captain Marvel post-credit scene.
Yeah. It's going to start right after Infinity War, but then there will be a time jump. How long it will be.
Do you think the Captain Marvel post-credit scene is just flat out the first scene of the movie?
I don't know if it's the first scene, but it's early.
How much do you, like, that and then, like, I think the first scene could be that, and it could update you on Tony Stark and Nebula, and then you get the Marvel Studios logo.
Because I do think the first scene will be them just, you know, just jumping in and dealing with what just happened, because it literally ends with him going, like, Cap saying, oh God, in Infinity War, and just beginning to get the sense of what happened.
Yeah, I don't think it'll start right in Wakanda.
No, I think it'll start back with us giving us almost like a shot in a kind of a montage of the world itself, because just showing a world where half the population is gone is a novelty in and of itself. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see how they show the. I've mentioned that to the Russo.
I mean, there's such. You're from New York, like, just there's so many City Field and the Statue of Liberty and all that stuff and all the boats.
Well, City Field usually wouldn't have people in it anyway.
We're gonna move.
Wow.
So, John, I think it starts immediately after Infinity War, but we will see a time jump. We don't know how long that jump will be.
Go Yankees.
Adam James asked, is Tony Stark really there with them in the end shot where the Avengers in their new kind of spacesuits are walking through the base, or is that another Thor's Eye trailer edit? I'm on the fence about this one.
I think he's there.
I think it's a weird looking shot that looks kind of artificial, like Tony, his movements and acting doesn't match necessarily the rest of them, and I feel like that could be a red herring. I think a major red herring.
But then Nebula wouldn't be there either.
Yeah.
Maybe. You said Tony might sacrifice himself, and that could be true. And he might not make it back. I mean, there is a twist.
I think
that's the end scene of the.
Well, depending on how. Okay, let me just preface this.
No, those are time travel suits right there. That's the Hank Pym Quantum Realm suit.
I know.
Yeah.
But depending on how this thing plays out, if there is some kind of reset button, then in this timeline, you can get a double whammy impact. You can have Tony sacrifice himself as a big twist early on in the film and die. At the end, Cap sacrifices himself, restores things, and Tony is back happy with a family. But Cap is gone.
So then Tony's not in most of the movie.
Yeah.
I don't think, though. I don't think so.
It does. The only reason I say that's a possibility is because it does trace back to one thing we heard in Infinity War, which was there would be a balance of screen time between the two movies, meaning we were kind of alluded to the fact that characters who got more screen time in Infinity War necessarily be appearing that much in
Infinity War. So who had the most time in Infinity War? Tony Stark, Doctor Strange?
Tony Stark, Doctor Strange, the Titan crew, and the Guardians are probably...
And so, yeah.
They had versions of the first movie where Captain America didn't come in until Wakanda.
That's crazy.
I'm glad they didn't.
Oh, me too. I would have.
Because that moment, I remember watching that moment in the theater, and that moment got such.
And also, that way you got the Thor entrance in Wakanda.
Yeah.
Okay, so incredible. Two more. I think we can get in here. Kate Bishop. There's a big scene about Hawkeye showing a young girl.
I thought this question came from a girl named Kate Bishop.
Joe.
Hold on.
But it came from a nice young lady named Joe who asked, Kate Bishop, is she real or is it Kate Barton and they're changing her backstory?
How many kids does Clint have in Age of Ultron? Because there's three people in the background. If you look at shot.
He has three, and I think he's about to have a fourth, maybe?
Yeah.
I remember.
So
it's either two going on three or three going on four.
When you look at that shot of that girl shooting the arrow, there's three people in the background. Not Hawkeye and not the girl with the arrow. Yeah. So, I mean, if he had a kid, I don't know how much time has passed.
So he probably lost his wife.
I mean, that's the
growing. I imagine right now. That scene is probably just going to result in all of them disappearing right there.
Because that's
he'll remember the happy moment.
Earlier.
That's probably a flashback.
Yeah, because that's what leads to him going out in the streets and being Ronin.
Yeah, I think he'll be Ronin and he'll be explaining to Natasha, you know, I got my hair cut because I went to Grey Clips because my family disappeared. And
you guys are so smart.
But maybe he didn't get a haircut. Maybe his hair, just half of it was snapped off.
Dodged a sword too late.
With Marvel, though, they're okay with changing characters' names as far as like kids, like we saw with Maria and Monica, right? I think it's Kate. I think it's pretty safe to say it's Kate.
Yeah, it's going to, or whatever the Marvel
cinematic
universe.
They might name her something different.
Yeah, whatever the MCU equivalent. Yeah,
but it's Kate Bishop.
Okay. And any news on when tickets go on sale? Did we forget about this whole thing?
I don't know.
Did they already?
They'll probably be on sale there'll probably be one more trailer. And then with that trailer, they'll say tickets on sale now. Movie comes out April 26th.
Yeah, they usually announce
it. It'll probably be about 2 weeks from now, I'd guess.
Yeah, I don't think they are right now.
That's just a guess. One Cinemark accidentally put them on sale yesterday. And it was for only one, like, May 3rd screening, so it wasn't even opening day.
No, there have been no official announcements yet, so we don't have it. And unfortunately, even with our powers of insight, we don't know quite yet when those tickets are coming. Only Marvel knows. So that's that. All right.
Are people having fun listening to our podcast? Do we have any reviews?
Yeah, we're about to... We're going to jump the gun just off the road. Guy who just fresh off the road.
Wait, I'm sorry.
That was going to wrap it up for our Avengers.
Well, I haven't been here, so I wanted to ask.
I know. You guys can always send us more questions, and we'll do more Q&As. But as BD jumped the gun,
totally do that.
We were also going to get in as we end the show
telling
you that you can subscribe or you can catch new episodes every Wednesday and Friday when they are posted on comicbook.com. We also include a link to our RSS feed where you can subscribe. You can subscribe and listen on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and iHeartRadio. Yeah, and I just froze up there. And if you want to continue the conversation, you can always hit us up at the hashtag ComicBookNation on Twitter. And you can also go to any of these places and subscribe and leave us a kind review, and we appreciate it. And if you leave us a kind review, we will read some on the air periodically, and the people who wrote them will get awarded a comic book t-shirt. So,
that's so
we've already given some out, and we have some new ones to read. Oh, I almost selected the one we selected last time.
Dun, 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 dun.
The White Mamba. Your review is just so good that I just always go back to it. But we already gave you a t-shirt.
He did confirm that was... They did confirm, right, that was...
It was a basketball player. No, it was a basketball player, the other one.
Okay.
There's a Black Mamba, it's Kobe Bryant, and then there's a White Mamba, I forget which basketball player it is, but he is repping for the White Mamba.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, we're going to read one that says, a very intelligent comic book podcast by Hammy Time. I enjoy this podcast very much. It is well-developed and can be enjoyed by collectors as well as casual readers, i.e. kids. One suggestion is to take a minute or two each week and identify what you think the hot covers are for the upcoming week. Ooh, comic
Ooh,
book.
Ooh, hey, nice.
That's for you, Maddie.
You're picky.
There are so many variants and number ones. Which do you think have the greatest potential to appreciate or be collectible, and why?
It's a good recommendation.
Keep up the great work.
Hell yeah.
White Mamba, good. White Mamba.
Yeah. No, that wasn't White Mamba.
Ah, man.
That was Hammy Time.
Hammy Time.
Hammy Time.
Nah, stop. No.
And I'll read one more by Dr. Schuler, Just What I Wanted. This is the podcast I have been waiting for. I like the enthusiasm for each topic that is presented and that it doesn't seem to get too cynical. I appreciate that the knowledge and background shared is not just someone reading a Wikipedia page. It actually comes from years of reading comics, watching shows, playing games, and experiencing. Thanks. You have a new regular listener.
Man, that's Shuler. Great.
That's
Sugi.
That's Shuler. A great review. Thank you, Dr. Schuler.
Touch me, Schuler.
Like, we actually do experience these things and work hard. I only use Wikipedia as a crib sheet now and again, because if you've ever had to remember 40 years of Marvel Comics character history.
There are a few things every now and then. You need Wikipedia. Like, wait, hold on. What is that again?
Yep. But, very much so.
But if you guys have any more reviews, please go to iTunes, to Spotify, to Stitcher, to iHeartRadio, and leave them there so we can see them, read them, and show you guys some love, because we do appreciate this. If you want to contact any of us individually, you can reach us on Twitter. You can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Matt Mueller CB.
You can find me at Brandon Davis BD.
Or the hashtag, where in the world is BD?
Where?
It's true. World. Honestly, I'm going to start using that. Really. I'm going to start that with the Shazam.
I mean, you
joke.
Should. You should.
Yeah.
Make people guess. I've seen your Instagram. You sometimes make people guess where you're going. It's a fun little polling.
It's fun.
It's a polling thing. But
we're the best podcast ever.
All right. Say goodbye to BD. We probably won't see him again for a couple months, but it's been great.
I will be
back.
Here all of next week. You're welcome.
What?
Yes, the whole week.
BD? Soldier Boy there.
Zoinks.
All right.
I thought you were going Scooby, not Soldier Boy.
We're starting to lose it. This is Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. Thanks for riding us today. See you next time. We're out.
Deuces.